Turn with me, if you will, to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2. We'll begin reading with verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, as I stand here tonight, it's no secret I love my home church. I'm thankful that I am a part of Clear Branch Baptist Church. And I know one day there's coming a day whenever Jesus is going to marry his bride. That would make us the espoused bride of Christ at this point. We haven't married him yet. According to Revelation 19, there's going to be those that are worthy to walk with him in white. And that white garment that the church puts on, the bride puts on, is the righteousness of saints. And there is a distinction there, a difference. It doesn't just say the righteousness of Christ. Whenever you got saved, you put on Christ. Whenever you got saved, the blood of Christ covers our sin, past, present, and future. And yet there's a part of life that we are, the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We are to save our life's works. Even Malachi chapter 3 writes about a book written between the faithful Christian and the unfaithful Christian. Both are Christians, but some are faithful and some are not. And so here he tells us that we are to purge ourselves from iniquity. We are to learn temperance. Add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance. Temperance, patience. Add these things to your faith. Those are things that we learn. Those are things that we learn to practice and we put into our lives that we can be more and more like Christ every day. And so I want to talk about the church tonight. You know, whenever we think of the church, I said Jesus is going to marry the church, and that's going to be on out all the churches throughout all the ages since all the way back when the church was established on the shores of Galilee. But when we think about the church, we're responsible for Clear Branch. You know, Clear Branch is not responsible for the works going on down the road at another church. That other church is not responsible for the works that are going on here. That don't mean we cannot fellowship together, and certainly we can. But as far as the works going on, they are responsible for the works of that body. We are responsible for the works of this body. And every man has to consider the works that he adds to this body. You know, the church itself is to govern itself. Nobody else is to govern the church. Christ is the head. Christ is the one that calls the shots. We are the ones that get in line and listen to him. And we are to take heed how we do that. The church as a whole is responsible for what goes on here at this church. For instance, if we had a member that got out here and was doing something that reflected bad on the church, then ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. That means the spiritual of the church is to go in love and talk to that person and try to encourage them to get back in line. When I say get in line, get back in accordance to Scripture. Because if it don't, it reflects bad on the church. And reflecting bad on the church, that's reflecting bad on the body of Christ. So we are responsible for things like that. Now, you are responsible individually for the work that you do. And every man is going to receive a reward according as his work shall be. So I want to talk about this great house here. He said, but in verse 20, but in a great house, in a great house. Jesus has a house. And Hebrews chapter 3 verse 6 says, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing firm until the end. There's an if there. We're not going to study that if tonight. I'm just pointing out it's there. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing firm until the end. If we represent him well. But notice again, he said, Christ, he is son over his own house, whose house we are. You and me, child of God, members at Clear Branch, we are his house. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5 says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. Think about that. You're a lively stone. And you are building up a spiritual house. And I want you to think, because well, we think about this building, don't we? We think how precious it is. We think about the sentimental value of the place. And many can remember where they were sitting when they got saved. And you remember where you were at whenever a certain message got a hold of your heart. And you remember certain revivals that we held here. And yet, the church is not the building. This church building, it could burn down overnight, and the church still meet here on Sunday. I hope that never happens. And yet, if it did, we still meet here just as strong as we did the Sunday before. Because you, and I want you to get that now, you are a lively stone. You are a lively stone. So whenever you come and you are part of this church, you become a lively stone, a living stone that represents this body. And so take heed the type of stone you're placing here. Take heed the type of member that you are. What kind of church would my church be if all of its members was just like me? Think about that. What kind of church would this be if every member was just like you? Would it be a faithful church? Would it be an unfaithful church? Would it be a rebellious church? Would it be a hypocritical church? Or would it be a great spiritual body? So take heed how you build upon this. Of course, Christ, that same passage, 1 Peter and chapter 2, speaks Jesus as the chief cornerstone. So tonight, he says, ye are, but let's go back to verse 20, but in a great house, in that great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. So even right here at Clear Branch, in this great house, this spiritual body, these lively stones have been built up, that there's some that would be honorable vessels of God and some that would not. Now, so, well, Brother, who would that be? I don't know. The Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit knows your heart. The Holy Spirit knows if you are living a hypocritical life. The Holy Spirit knows if you are not being faithful to the Lord in your heart. He knows these things. And so you take heed to that because there's some that are honorable and some that are not. You know, if you're part of the church, then you ought to have a desire to be the greatest member you can be. You ought to have a desire to do exactly what the Lord has in store for you to do, to know your vocation and to do it well. If your vocation, God placed it on your heart and it is to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, then you do that with all of your might, with all of your heart for the glory of God. Not for your own glory, but for the glory of God. I'm going to use an illustration I used back whenever I first come here to preach. It's one that's been on my heart. And, I know some of you older ones will remember it very well, and then others, you know, that these younger ones probably don't remember it because they probably wasn't paying attention years ago. But years ago, I bought 2 coffee cups. And to me, I just get a kick out of simplistic stuff. And to sit down and drink coffee, if you're going to do it, you need to do it in style. You need to do it with all your heart. And I bought these 2 coffee cups, ceramic, handmade coffee cups. They were hand-painted. One of them was navy blue. And it was I'm doing this because it was a pretty good size cup. I like a big cup of coffee. And it was one of these thick mugs, and it's navy blue, and it had a yellow ring around the top, and then had another one just like it, but it was red, and it had a yellow ring around the top. And I liked the red one just a little bit better. They were both equally good, but I liked that red cup. That was my cup. That's the one I wanted to use. And Granny would come drink coffee with me when she'd stayed. You get up in the morning, you drink coffee with Granny, and I'd walk in there, and I'd set her that blue cup down, and I'd drink out of my red cup. Well, that and the next day we'd get up, she'd have that coffee sitting there, and she's drinking out of that red cup. And I got demoted to the blue cup. And it stayed that way. Every time she comes, she would grab that red cup. She knew that was my cup, but it become her cup. It was special to her. She wanted that red cup. She liked it better too. Red was her color. She drank out of that red cup, and I didn't mind. I drank out of the blue cup. I drank out of one of my apple cups if I had to. Granny's there. I didn't mind. That red paint chipped off the side of it, right up around the ring. Just a little chip, but it made a white, it was just an eyesore, a white chip on the side of that cup. It wasn't really a chip, it was just a flake of paint come off. I went in there, Brother Mike, and she was drinking out of that blue cup. She left me the red one. What changed? All of a sudden, that red cup had an eyesore. That red cup had a chip on the side. And it just was not desirable anymore to her. And so I didn't say anything to her about it. I just kind of laughed. I drank out of the one with a chip on it for a little while. But then I thought, I'm going to see what happens. I took a red marker and I colored that white chip back in, and it disappeared. It was gone. I mean, look, almost flawless. I put it back, and the next day she's drinking out of that red cup again. Never said a word. It just... Because of that chip, she couldn't drink out of it. As soon as it was fixed, she went right back, grabbed the red cup again. I got a lesson out of that little story, though. No one wants to use an undesirable vessel. Nobody does. Paul said, in a great house, here at Clear Branch, here at the house of God, that there's those that are desirable, honorable vessels, and then there's those that are not honorable vessels. He said there's some to honor and some to dishonor. And then he goes on, he says, verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Paul said, as those that will make themselves fit for the master's use, and some that will not. Those that get yourself out of the way, and they are willing to be what God would have them to be. God will use a person like that. Those willing to purge themselves from the things of this world to add to their faith. Add to their faith virtue. And the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance and patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. Those that are willing to do these things, God will use that one. You know, And then there's those that get set on a shelf. After a little while, Brother Joy, that thing chipped off pretty good. I couldn't cover it up no more with that marker. You know what happened to it? Next thing you know, it got pushed all the way in the back of the cupboard. Nobody wanted that anymore. It wasn't going to drink out of it. It got to a point where really it was useless. I'll tell you what, we can get that way if we don't watch it. We can live our lives in a way that would be dishonorable, in a way that God would say, you know what, I can't use you in this kind of condition that you're in. And so it is the burden of my heart tonight to help us to see that we need to keep ourselves in line with the Word of God, that God would use us, and not only that He would, but that we would be willing to be used of Him in whatever capacity. You know, someone may say, well, Jesus made us all fit when He saved us. When Jesus saved me, He saved my soul. It's been covered by the blood. He died for all sin, the past, the present, the future sin. We're talking about our life's works. We're talking about a person that can live their life. He said, give yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's what is reasonable that God has required of you, that you would live your life in a way that God would say, that's acceptable unto me. Through Jesus Christ, we can live a life that brings Him honor. We can allow Him to fix our chips and our dings. And I'm not trying to preach a message, say we are holiness or something like that, that we live above sin and we get to a point where we don't ever sin anymore. Certainly we sin. We probably sin on a daily basis. But my heart, do I have a desire to be used of the Lord? Am I trying to grow and looking to the Lord to lead my life? And when I mess up, do I immediately, that sin breaks my heart, I turn to the Lord and ask Him to forgive me and truly repent of those things? Or did I just get bogged down in sin and get to a point where, you know, I don't care about the sins, it's just the way it is? We are vessels, and it should be our desire to be fit for the Master's use. Let me get you another verse, Proverbs 25. And then we're going to turn and read from another place. But let's get a verse here in Proverbs 25. Verse 4. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take away the dross from the silver. Again, you know, take away the impurities from that silver, and there will come forth a vessel that is fit. That the finer is the one that, he's the potter. We would refer to it maybe as a potter. There come forth a vessel fit for the finer. The potter turns up the heat on that silver. Silver melts down. Think about that as the trials. Remember, the Lord said, don't count it strange some fiery trial come upon you. Don't count that strange. Understand the Lord is trying you, and He's trying to burn off those impurities so that you will learn to depend on Him. You will turn and trust Him in all situations in your life. And whenever you do that, He can remove them impurities. Then He has a vessel that He can use. When it comes again to the saving of soul, I'm washed whiter than snow. But when it comes to an honorable vessel, God expects us to learn temperance, to avoid getting spot. What's pure religion? Pure religion, undefiled before God, is this: visit the fatherless and the widows and their infirmity, and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's what God wants out of us, to avoid those spots that cause that blemish. That spot that whenever somebody looks at you, they say, you know what? That person's a hindrance. Maybe they wouldn't say it, but that's what the response is. That person's a hindrance. a little folly. Just a little bit of folly is like dead flies in the ointment of the apothecary. That means just a mistake here and there, and it'd be a hindrance in a way that it'd cause our reputation to stink. You can't be a help to someone if they look at your life and it's a hindrance. So we need to allow the Lord to take those impurities away, that we could live before others and we could live before God Almighty in a way that would please Him. Look at Psalms 51. Why are you turning to Psalms 51? Joshua led the people into Jericho and they had a great victory because God was leading them. They were listening to the Lord. They didn't depend on themselves. They didn't depend on their own might. They were looking to the Lord. But then they get past Jericho and they go to a little village called Ai. And they felt like, well, we can handle this. No need in sending a whole army up for this. We can go in and wipe this little village off the map, no problem. They had one man, decided he would take of the accursed thing back in Jericho. He took some gold, some silver, and a Babylonian garment. He went and hid it in his tent. He brought sin into the camp. That sin did not just hinder him, did it? It hindered him. It hindered his family. The consequences fell upon his family. It hindered all the people of Israel, all of his people. I tell you what, we could be a hindrance in the work of the Lord ourselves. If we decide to hold on to sin and we don't repent of it, we don't turn it over to the Lord, we can be a great hindrance too. Joshua and the people of Israel had sin in the camp. Of course, Achan brought it in. He did, but everyone suffered. Sin affects more lives than our own. All right? I thought about David. David's a man after God's own heart. We all know that. He sinned with Bathsheba. Then he sinned with her husband, had him killed. Then he sinned for quite some time with lies, trying to cover it all up. Don't want anybody to find out this part of my life. I'm going to keep it hidden. Nobody's going to know anything about that. But I'm going to tell you what happened to him, Brother Jay. David, in that point in his life, he developed a serious chip. He was an undesirable vessel. He was one of them vessels you just take and put it up on the shelf and push it to the back of the cupboard. Nobody wants to use him. It was such a severe chip for the Itan that God, whenever he rebuked him, he said, David, you caused the enemies of God to blaspheme. Your sin was so severe, you were not being a help to anyone, you were being a hindrance. People looked at you and said, that his God, we don't want any part of that. Blaspheme against God. Because of his sin. Now, David understood this. It broke David's heart to know that he had wronged God. He said, against thee only have I sinned. First things first, whenever you got something in your life as a hindrance, the first one you need to go to, not the last one, is God. You need to go to God. You need to get things fixed with Him. Listen, as He gets things fixed and get it back in order so that He can be used again. Psalms 51, verse 2. He said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me. We're talking about a saved man here. This is a man that's saved. Verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin. Blot out all mine iniquities. He goes through just repentance. He wants God to restore his joy, to renew a right spirit within him. And then he gets down here in verse 13. He said, "Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Lord, I can't do anything in my present condition. I need you to purge me with hyssop. I need you to clean me up. I need you to wash me and make me whiter than snow, because then and only then will I be able to help a sinner be converted. Then and only then will I be a vessel fit for the master's use. Fix the chip so I can be an honorable vessel once again. Once we are saved, we will never need to be saved again. I want that to be crystal clear. You'll never need to be saved again, but whenever you get saved, there's a relationship that is to be maintained between us and the Father. And whenever that relationship is breached, it is of the utmost importance that we get that fixed between us and God. To go before the Lord and ask for forgiveness, to go before the Lord and truly, not just, "Oh Lord, please forgive me if I've done anything wrong," but to go before Him in true repentance and ask God to help us, that we'll never repeat the same thing over again. To be washed and to be cleaned up. When we begin to dirty up this old vessel, we can get to the point we're set on the shelf. Get to a point where we need to be purged of these sins. Is there anything tonight, as we come to a close, is there anything in your life that you feel like is a hindrance to you being fully used in the work of God? Like David, if that's the case, like David, we need to repent. Now again, I'll just remind us, we are human. We make mistakes. Every day of my life, I could be closer to the Lord than what I am. Every day of my life, I make blunders and mistakes. I have to ask God to forgive me for whenever I go to bed. I ask God to help me and forgive me. Help me to do better tomorrow than I did today. That I could grow closer to Him and be closer to Him. But tonight we're talking about unrepented sin. Is there something there that's keeping you from being the vessel that God wants you to be, to honor the vocation that God has for you? We ask for something.